verses in there that are probably my favorite that I often turn to. Philippians chapter 4. I want to start by saying thank you. Thank you for this weekend, for inviting me and having me with you. It's great to come back and see so many people that I care about so much. And thank you so much for the love and warmth that you've shown me this weekend. I really appreciate it. We've talked a lot this weekend about relationships and the importance of relationships. And so I don't want you to minimize the impact you have on people, on me. And so thank you so much for all that you've done for me this weekend. I appreciate that. And for what you've done for the kids, the young people this weekend, I hope that that they are truly impacted by what has happened this weekend, and I thank you for that. So just thank you for this weekend. I appreciate it. So one of the things that, as you know, I try to think about, this is the kind of a last lesson. What do I talk about? What do you say? And that's why I ended up in Philippians chapter 4, because for me, there's so many times in life, just living life, that I end up here in Philippians chapter 4. And, you know, you think about the storms of life, and as I started thinking about this lesson and the importance of it, I started thinking about the storms in life and then ended up with what happened down where the boys are in Houston with the hurricane that went through there and some of the things they dealt with. And Trent, you know, we get stories from the boys because they're police officers. We get a lot of police officer stories, and that's kind of exciting for me. Angela doesn't, you know, she wants to hear them, but she doesn't want to hear them. And so you hear a lot of kind of nifty stories from them about what goes on. And as that storm came through, Trent said that his patrol car was parked, and they were dealing with something. And he said, since the hurricane went through, kind of one of the aftermath of that was that there were a lot of stray animals, stray dogs out in the streets. Just, you know, they got separated from where they were, and now they're just wandering the streets. And he said this one dog came up to him and was just exhausted, just had been running, and was just out, just tired. And he said, so he picked the dog up and put the dog in the back of his patrol car and went about whatever he was doing. He said the dog was just out cold. He was just fell asleep immediately. And so as he was working and doing his stuff, he was there a while, that he went back to his car and the dog was gone. The dog had, I guess, been refreshed and got up and went about its business. I think about the storms in our life and the challenges we face and the difficulties we face. And again, as I come back here and I get caught up again, because I'm not on Facebook, I get caught up again on what's going on in your life, and some great things and some sad things. Those storms are real for all of us. And there's times in our life when we need a rest. We need some peace. Philippians chapter 4 is our peace. And so I want to pull out of this section five things that I think are important for us to remember when those storms of life come upon us. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Let's read this whole section and then we'll go back and pull these points out. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." There's five things that he says here about finding rest, finding peace in your life. The first thing is in verse 4, where he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Even says it twice. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's how we need to live our life. I just say it this way. Look up. You know, there's a lot of things that make me happy in life. I like good Mexican food. That makes me happy. You know, if I could just have good Mexican food. Fishing in a good stream makes me happy. Being around family makes me happy. Not having a cold when I'm trying to speak makes me happy. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we can look at and say, you know, this really makes me happy. But all those are temporary. And sometimes we get caught up on these things that make us happy, and we want it so badly that we seek after those and we strive after those, and we forget that they're temporary and they're going to be gone, and that there's something more important I need to focus on, and I need to look up and realize that God has something else for me, something greater. In the Garden of Eden, God put man in the garden to be happy. He made everything so that man could be happy. It's interesting, as you go through the Bible, here's Genesis that starts with this beautiful garden scene, and then the book of Revelation talks about the garden again and the tree of life and all that we have, that God wants us to be happy. The whole book is about God wanting for us this happiness, and it's only found in Christ. That's where we find it. We can seek after it in various ways, and we think we have it over here, and we run after that, and we don't have it. It's temporary, it's short, and then we want something else to make us happy. The only place to find happiness is in the Lord. And so Paul says, look up. Look up, because God knows how to make you happy. Here's the second thing he says here in verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. I would say that we need to lighten up. You think about the Lord coming, and especially those storms of life that are here and that frustrate us and make us upset. You read through the book of Ecclesiastes and you see the frustration. You see how upset the writer there is about life and the times when life is unfair and it doesn't happen the way it should, and you put in all this effort and you can't get anything out of it. And it's just a frustrating way to live, and the storms of life can do that to you. Make you angry, make you bitter, make you upset. It's just not right. Paul says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men, because the Lord is near. I think what he means by that is, you know what, just keep doing what's right. Keep acting the way you should. Even though it's not fair and not right, and maybe you're not treated right, and you go through all these storms, keep doing what's right, because God is right there. He's near. He sees. He understands. He'll make it all right really soon. Just trust in Him. Wait for Him. And for you, do what's right. Let your gentle spirit be known. Get rid of the anger. Get rid of the bitterness. Quit being upset over these things that just aren't right. God knows. God knows they're not right. And He'll take care of it. For you, just let your gentle spirit be known. That's how we find peace. We find peace when we look up and when we lighten up. We find peace when we realize that joy, true joy, is in the Lord, and when we realize that that we don't have to get all upset about the things in life. I was at a conference the other day, and a bunch of Christians there, and we were talking about, the conversation kind of steered towards our culture and what's going on in our culture, and maybe as I get older, I don't know if this is just an age thing, because my parents probably said the same thing, you know, my grandparents probably said the same thing, that, you know, boy, these days, you know, it's awful. But that's what I see, that our culture is going in the wrong direction, away from God, and living in ways that my parents and grandparents maybe would have never thought that we would do those sorts of things. And that can make you frustrated. That can make you pull your hair out, and what's going to happen? What about the future, and how are things going to turn out? And what Paul says is, don't worry about it. Just lighten up on how you react to those things. Just do what's right, do what's good, and be gentle in how you approach all men. Because God sees, God knows. He also says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Storms make us worry. When the storm hit down there, we were going to travel down there. We just had plans to go down to Houston that particular weekend, just by chance. And the news said, hey, there's this big hurricane or the big storm that may turn into this huge hurricane. And we've heard that 1,000 times. And so you're like, well, yeah, it'll end up being a little bit of rain and no big deal. But as the time got closer for us to go down there, they kept talking more and more about it. And so we thought, well, maybe we shouldn't go. And then as it got closer and closer, we thought, well, maybe the girls and the kids need to come up to where we are so that they're not affected by it. And there's a lot to worry with that. And as they're up with us and their houses are down there and it's raining and flooding, they're worried about all sorts of things. What's happening in our neighborhood? What's happening to our house and to our possessions? And what's happening with Tyler and Trent? We had trouble communicating with them at times because of the storm. And there's just a lot of things in the storms in your life that bring about worry and concern. Things that you can't control. Things that you know may turn out bad. And there's nothing you can do about it. We worry about those things. And what Paul says is, be anxious for nothing. That's a tall order, isn't it? Be anxious for nothing, but in every single thing, pray. Here's the word that I like in that section. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Isn't that an interesting word to throw in there? Pray. I can see him saying, pray with supplication. Okay, I'm coming to God. I'm giving everything to God. I'm trying not to worry about these things. But he says, with thanksgiving. That's an important note. Because oftentimes in the storms, we pray to God about it. We're upset about this. We're worried about this. God, take care of this. God, I'm trying not to let this bother me. And we're praying about those things. But do we also say, thank you, God? For what? You know, it's a storm. This is bad stuff. This is negative things that could happen. And he says, put thanks in there. What does that cause us to do? It causes us to look differently at the storm. It causes us to realize that God is the provider of good things. And I need to trust Him and thank Him for the good that I see in all of this and that is happening in all this. Pray with thanks to Him. In verse 7 is the result of that, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This section, this giving it up, is a matter of changing where our trust is. We don't worry so much when we're in control and we don't think anything bad's going to happen. We're not so worried, right? Everything's good. I got it under control. Good stuff is going to happen. I'm not worried. But I begin to get worried when I feel like it's out of control and bad things may happen. That's when I get worried. Because I'm no longer in control. But Paul says, and what we need to realize is, we're really never in control. God's always in control. Trust Him. Rely on Him. In everything, give it up to Him. And you'll find the peace that you need in the middle of the storm. In verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Every circumstance, every person has good and bad. Every circumstance, every person has good and has bad. Sometimes our focus with ourselves is on the bad. That's maybe where I tend towards at times. Trying to be realistic, trying to be honest, trying to see things how they are. Maybe there's that sense in which you just focus on, well, I don't do this, and I'm not good at this, and I have this problem, or this, and you tend to focus on the negative in yourself. That can be bad. Or maybe you tend to focus on the negative in others, and you see what they do that you don't like, and that's not good. And you talk about it and you see it every time you're with them. And you just don't like them because you see that negative. Sometimes it's circumstances. Things that happen in our life, we can always find the bad. And it makes us upset. And boy, this thing happened and look at this bad part of it. And we focus that way, we think that way. And what it does for our life is gets us all upset. And it's really easy when the storms come to find the negative. And we can focus on that and we can think about that. And this is just the worst thing ever. But what Paul says is, whatever is true in that person, in that circumstance, dwell on it. Whatever is pure in that person, in that circumstance, dwell on it. Think about it. Focus on it. Whatever is honorable, whatever is of good repute in that person, in that circumstance, dwell on it. Think about it. Find it. It's a change in perspective on how we see things, how we see people. Paul says, live that way. Focusing on the good. We get to choose. You get to choose what you focus on. So choose to think about and focus on what is good. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. Jesus says what you're dwelling on, what you're thinking about, what's in your heart, comes out as, if your heart isn't where it should be, it comes out as these evil things. So start thinking about what's good. We have to do that. If we don't, it's going to mess up our life. It's going to mess up the lives of others. It's going to destroy the peace that we so badly want. Find the positive. And then finally in verse 9, he says, stand up. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Here's the process I see in that verse. Hear, receive, learn, practice. Think about that process. Hear, receive, learn, practice. It's kind of like a song. You ever hear a song and you're at that first stage where you hear it and it's kind of, you know, kind of catchy, but you have no idea what they're even saying in the song. It's just, oh, I really like that song. I don't know what they're saying, but boy, it's really, I love that song, you know. And then somebody says, well, here's what they're saying. And sometimes you're like, whoa, I don't like that song anymore. Sometimes you're like, wow, I really like it now, because you get to receive now that message and what they're trying to say. And you're, you know, now, boy, that's a good song. I like that. But then there's that next step of learning it. It's not just, oh, I like the message. It's, you know what, I'm gonna really understand what that means in life. And how that quality, or whatever that song is saying, how that message really impacts me in my life. I'm gonna learn it for me. And then there's that last step of practice. I'm gonna make it my life to live that way. I appreciate the singing this weekend, and you know, everywhere you go in different areas of the country, different congregations, they have kind of their set songs, you know, that their favorites or whatever that they sing, and they're different, and so it's nice going somewhere else and they sing some songs you maybe hadn't heard for a while or something, and so coming back, you know, some of the songs that we rarely sing out there, get to hear again, and it's encouraging, and you all do such a great job in singing those songs that that make you think about your life and how you're living and what you're doing. And the point of this verse is Paul saying, look, you've heard it, you've sung the songs, but what I want you to do is receive the message from those songs, and I want you to learn it and understand what it is, and I want you to put it to work in your life. You're not going to find peace just by hearing it. You're not going to find peace by just coming here and hearing a lesson and receiving it and saying and leaving the doors and saying, oh, that was good, good message, you know. You're not even going to benefit from this message by learning it. Okay, I've got it down. I know what he's saying. I understand this passage. I get it. That's not going to benefit you until you live it and practice it in your life. And you're not going to find peace in your life, peace in the storm, until you decide, you know what? God says to live this way and act this way. That's what I'm going to do. That's when you find peace. That's the hard part. That's the big step you need to take. That's the hard step you need to take. But that's when peace comes, is when you practice it. So Paul says we need to look up. We need to lighten up. We need to give it up. We need to fill up with the good things, and we need to stand up for what's right. And when we do, we'll find peace that only God can give. We all experience storms. There will be hard times in our lives. We've already had hard times, and there's going to be more. But know that God is there with you. And remember that you can find peace in the midst of that storm and make it through. Thanks be to God for that. Tonight, if you haven't given your life to God, then think about the storms of this life and how God provides that place of rest for you, that peace for you. And if you're subject to the invitation, then let your need be known as we stand and sing.
here.